Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You are welcome to church. We've got a few minutes this morning. Say hello to the person next to you. Say, good morning, welcome to church. Don't go too far, we're going to need you soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. First of all, I want to thank Pastor for the opportunity. I never take it lightly. Anytime there's an opportunity to share the word, it's always a great time. Always a great time. Praise the Lord. So for a while we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, the place of the Spirit, the human spirit, how the human spirit needs to be developed, and how the human spirit needs to get to where God wants the human spirit to be. Because a lot of times we find out that people, they get born again, they get saved, they go through the process of confessing Jesus as the Lord of their lives. But what we miss is the real power of Christianity finding its way in their lives. So the Christian doesn't see the manifestation of God like we should. And when we do see things that manifest, sometimes it's difficult for you to know if this is really God or if this is something else. But you know, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, there was no doubting that that was God. There was no way you would have said, no, maybe something happened. Even though some people are telling some stories, some scientists are telling stories, they're saying that, you know, that the blood wasn't really blood. It was just the way the sun was reflecting is what caused it to be red. And that's why people said it was red. You know, they say all those kind of things. But the truth of the matter is, when it happens the first time, it happens the second time, it happens the third time, then you have to agree that I may not understand it, but something is happening. And the more you look at the message of the gospel, the more you realize that actually we're just leaving out the continuation of this book. We're just leaving out the continuation of this book. In here are the stories about our lives. So when you go back to faith, how did faith start? Faith started with Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith. He was the one who introduced faith. He was the one who introduced believing God through the spoken word, believing God by just taking the word of God and trusting in that word and looking for the manifestation of that word. He was the father of faith. So you see the story of Abraham in Genesis. You get to Exodus. It's still the story of the people of God. It's the children of Abraham that are now maturing. It is those children that are now becoming a people on the face of the land. They are the children that the promise God gave to Abraham is now starting to show forth in their lives. You get into the book of Exodus, it's still the same people. You leave the book of Exodus, you go into Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Joshua, it's still the story about the same people. You go all the way, 1 Kings, Chronicles, it's still the same people. All the way right through into Malachi, it's still the same people. And the message is talking about a person. I will send unto you a prophet who will be like unto Moses. Someone who will take you out of a place of bondage and move you into a place where you are free. Move you into a place where the door is open to you. Move you to a place where, he called it a land flowing with milk and honey. It means you go into a land where you will eat, you will be fat. You go into a land where it's just flowing constantly. There is no season to the supply that is coming. It's still the same story. It's still the same story. Then you go all the way into the New Testament. You start from Matthew. Again, Matthew starts by showing you a genealogy. Again, tracing it all the way back to say that we are a people of history. We are a people who have not just jumped out of anywhere. We can trace our roots. We can go back to where we came from. We can see the plan that God had for us. we can see the richness of the plan. We can see what God did for those that were before us. We can see what he did with the father of faith. We can see what he did with the children of the father of faith. We can see what he did with the grandchildren of the father of faith. We can see what he did with the great-grandchildren of the father of faith. And when we lost count, we started to refer to him, God of ages past. No way of picking out where to start. No way of picking out where he's going to end. No way. He's just God. No beginning of days, no end of life. He's just God. And we are a part of that story. A part of that story. So you look at that kind of heritage, and then you get into the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. The apostle then starts to say something here. He says, starting from verse 8. He says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." He then says, "For this cause I bow my knees." What is the cause? What is the mystery he was talking about? That when you read the history books, it talks about a people. But in reality, what God was doing through the life of Abraham was not just for the people Israel. It was just not for the people God had called and God had ordained. The apostle was saying that there was a greater mystery behind that thing. There was a mystery that was leading to the Gentiles being partakers of the same grace that was made available under the covenant to the chosen people. The same grace. Now, look at it. Verse 6. It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel. That the Gentiles, that you and I will be partakers. So every time I read the Bible, I am seeing the history of my life. I am seeing the history, the rich history that I am proud of what God had been doing for me. Way, 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 way before I even came to accept Christ, I start to see that there is something God is doing in my life. I start to see that God had a plan for me. Right from the beginning of creation, he had a plan for me. And I am working to make sure that that plan is established in my time, in my season. So when we talk about the place that the Holy Spirit has in causing the plan of God to come to pass, it is an important place. It is a place such that if the Bible continued to be written, your story will make it into the book. When they start to read the genealogies, they will trace your genealogy back to Adam. They will trace it back, and this one gave birth to this, and that one gave birth to that, and that one gave birth to that, and that one gave birth to that, and that one gave birth to Akiyami. You will see it there. You know, a lot of times you read all these genealogies in the Bible and you're wondering, what do I want to do with this? There is power locked in there. Power locked in there. Power. So he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. So I'm starting this morning with this sense that we are all partakers of this promise. We have all been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So in a sense, we could say to ourselves that we have changed nationality. So if you go to the previous chapter in Exodus, in Ephesians chapter 2, when the Bible talks about the body of Christ, it says, verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands." It says that at the time ye were without Christ, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Aliens from the wealth of Israel. Aliens. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. We had no hope. We were without God in the world. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ." He says, "He is our peace, who had made both one. He has broken down the wall of partition between us. He has abolished in his flesh the enmity between the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Look at verse 19. It says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers." We are no more foreigners. We are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. No more strangers. No more foreigners. Fellow citizens of the household of God. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto one holy temple in the Lord. The whole building, you know, this bit is quite important. The whole building fitly framed together. It's like taking a building and you are taking all the blocks one at a time. You are putting the blocks in. I was on the train some time ago, and the train stopped by a building, and you had workmen there. The builders were there, and you see the guy. He would pick a brick and go into the building, and he would put it in. And then sometimes he would try to put the thing in. It wouldn't fit. And then he goes away. He chips at it until it fits eventually. He puts it in there. He cements it in. And as I looked at it, it hit me that everybody in the body of Christ has been fitly cut into place. If you take out the one he was chipping at and you try to put it in the place of the one he did not chip at, guess what? It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. So God created the body in a way to make sure that everyone has a unique assignment. Everyone has a unique place. And there is something about your uniqueness that if you leave your uniqueness, the body will suffer for your missing uniqueness. So the eyes are unique. You can't get so angry that you take out the eyes and you say, "I want to work on that one." They can manage to, you know, if you have, the doctors will tell us, if you have burns, they can decide that they will do skin graft and take skin from one place, put it in another. But you've never seen somebody that had problem, they amputated the hand and they decided to add the leg there. Why? Because the leg was created to be here. The hand was created to be there. You can do things. I've seen things on social media of people who didn't have hands and they were using their legs as the hands. But that's not what it was made for. That's not what it was made for. It was the conditioning of that person that caused them to start to use the legs as the hands. Why am I saying it this way this morning? It's because every time God wants to move you to a new place, he sets things in order. He sets things in order. So he says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" What's he saying? It means that sometimes in the presence of sin, things may appear to be going well. Samson was going well. There was Delilah in the picture, but he was going well. Until one day he got up and said, "Let me move. I can't move like I used to." That's why Paul was saying, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And the challenge is that many Christians are flowing under grace. And they think, "I know the message of the gospel. I understand how it works." Actually, you don't. It's just grace that is speaking. And God expects you to go out and take the word, use the word to move yourself to the place you need to be. Such that when the occasion demands, you just bring it out and you use it. So, when we get into the kingdom and we've been translated into the kingdom, there are certain practices that are practices of the kingdom. They are practices of the kingdom. So you may come into a meeting like today. You know, we were at the prayer meeting. We prayed some prayers on Friday. I'm sure that those of you who were at the prayer meeting on Friday would see that God answered our prayer. So the thing is, if you stop that type of prayer, you come back 2 weeks' time, everything is still moving. You think that, hallelujah, thank God, we have now broken into the new level. And what do? The thing you did to trigger your level, you leave it. That's exactly the same thing the children of Israel were doing. A judge will come on the scene. The judge will help them, get them to the next level, and suddenly they go back. And that was why God was saying to them, be careful, remember these things. Don't forget what your fathers did. Because there was a way they did it. There was a consistency in God. Consistency. That if you follow the pattern of God, you will always get the result of God. Every time without fail. Every time. Every time without fail. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. We touched on this. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you had the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. After that you believed. So you trusted, you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. That's what Pastor has been talking about. You trust, you believe, and then the Holy Ghost comes in. The Holy Ghost coming in is the seal. It's like taking a bottle. You fill it with a particular liquid. You cap it. When the Holy Ghost enters the matter, it's capped. When the Holy Ghost is not in the matter, anything can happen. Anything can happen. But when he is in the matter, he caps it. He says, you are sealed with the Spirit. Sealed with the Spirit. So you trust. You believe. You are sealed. And what happens? Once you get to that point, your mind changes. Your mind changes. You see, sometimes people don't understand their heritage, and because we don't understand our heritage, we take certain things for granted. Remember the story of the prodigal son. He was out there. He was eating with the swine. He would even have been, let me just eat swine's food. But he could not get swine's food. And he now said, let me go back. Let me go back to my father. So sometimes it's important for us to remember these things. My mom used to say something. She used to say it in Yoruba, which meant, remember where you are coming from. Why? Because the memory of where you come from will place certain limitations and certain boundaries around your life. And when you keep those boundaries there, provided the boundaries were boundaries of God in the first place, when you keep those boundaries there, they keep your life. They keep you from trouble. They keep you from pain. There are some things that I will never see in my life by the grace of God. Why? Because I have no picture, no consciousness of those things ever happening in my life. I never saw them in my family. I never saw them at home. I never saw it in my parents. I never saw it in the people that I love. It would never come into my life. Because the consciousness of it is not there. I have been working actively to make sure that those things have no control over my life. But if you find yourself in a situation where it's the norm at home, it's the norm at work, it's the norm for everybody around you, it wouldn't take long before it becomes the norm for you. It wouldn't take long. Before you know what's happening, it's just become the norm for you. So before, any little thing about sin was a problem. Now it's kind of okay. We start to rationalize. We start to explain it away. We start to say why it's probably not as bad as it should be. You know, we are in a different world. We're in a different time. We're in a different season. That's why I'm going back to the heritage. We are children of promise. Children, the same way the story of Jesus was in the Bible, the same way they spoke prophetically about Jesus is the same way they have spoken prophetically about me. It's the same way I look in, at that scripture in Ephesians chapter 3 and I say, I am the one. That was the mystery Paul was talking about here. He says, the mystery which in other ages was not known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. So it was still the Spirit. It was the Spirit that was revealing. The Spirit that was revealing. Ephesians 3:6. It says that the Gentiles, that I should be a fellow here. And if I am a fellow here, it means that every promise that was given to the children of Abraham has been given to me. Every single promise. And you may not understand how powerful these things are. And I will show you in a minute. Because the more you go through the book of Ephesians, the more you start to see this dependence on the Holy Ghost. We talked about it in Ephesians chapter 5. Where he said, from verse 17, he says, be ye not unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:18. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess. You see, in those days, what used to happen is that it was like a worship to their pagan gods. And whenever they were there to do the worship, what they used to do was, they would drink. And the people will get drunk. So Paul was saying to these guys, don't get drunk by drinking wine in excess. He said, but your alternative to the pattern you are seeing is to be filled with the Spirit. That's your alternative. You cannot do what they are doing. But what you can do is to be filled with the Spirit. That's what you can do. So a lot of times, when things don't go well or are not moving like they should, I always check properly to make sure, where's the thermostat? If everybody is sweating in here now, I can almost guarantee you that if you go and check the thermostat, the thing will be hot. If everybody is doing that, if I go and check the thing, it will be cold. So there is a thermostat that regulates temperature. And as a believer, there should be a thermostat that's regulating your life. That if you go and check the thermostat, I am low. I need to do something. And when you do something, it stabilizes. So when you see elements of what's happening, things are shaking, check the thermostat. What's he saying? Am I stable? Is it at the right level that I should be operating at? They always say, you take a fish out of water, I will die. Why? Because that's not the right environment for it. Every believer has a right environment. Every person who is a partaker of the covenant of Abraham has got an environment in which we function. It is the environment of the Holy Ghost. If we are not in the environment of the Holy Ghost, we will not function properly. We will not function properly. We need that environment to function. Now, look at what he says. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And we talked about this. We said, how do you get filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. So every time, and you shouldn't wait for things to be down. You should keep doing it. So if you find out that, you know, for people who live in countries where electricity gets cut out a lot of times and you have to put on a generator, and if mains has gone off and you put on generator, if you want the light to be on, the generator must be on. Keep the generator on, the light will remain on. If the light is going down and is going dim, if you find out that you are making wrong decisions frequently, you find out that things suddenly are not working like they should, are you walking in light or are you walking in darkness? Because if you are walking in light, you will see where you should step. You know, nobody is born a fool. If you see that there's a pothole here, you will avoid it. If you are constantly, I dropped in pothole. Maybe you should go and check your eyesight. Are you following me? Because when you are breaking into the things of God, there is a pattern for breaking into the things of God. It is a regular pattern. Apply it anytime. Kenneth Copeland said something about Oral Roberts. He used to be his pilot. And he said that one of the things that amazed him about Oral Roberts was the way he used his faith like a tool. Every time a situation came up, it was as if he just flipped open a toolbox and he looked and he looked and he said, that's what I need. And he'll pick that one and he'll use it. But if you are not skilled in the use of the tool, even if they give you the tool, it will make no difference. Somebody once said that he that does not read has no advantage over the one who... So, I can't read English. I'm just looking. And the person who can read and is not reading, the two of us are the same. The two of us are the same. So what am I talking about? It's about getting ourselves to the point where we are constantly filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking psalms. Speaking hymns. Speaking spiritual songs. So the question is, how often do you speak in psalms? How often do you speak in hymns? How often do you speak in spiritual songs? And all these things have meanings. You know, a lot of times when you look in the Bible, and you start in the book of Psalms. First of all, the book of Psalms was not just David. You do realize that, you know, that there were other people who contributed into that. So you look in the book of Psalms. You see stories about a psalm of David. Then you also see stories about a psalm of Asaph. And you're wondering, who was Asaph? Who was he? You start to trace the lineage. And you find out that, this guy was the great-grandchild of Levi. These people came from a tribe. So, when the children of Israel, you find the story in 1 Chronicles chapter 6. 1 Chronicles chapter 6. You see the story of Levi. He had three children. When you trace the history of his children, in the middle of that, you see Asaph. You know, Levi was the third son of Jacob. They were the ones they committed the worship, the singing in the house of God. In Nehemiah, what was the first thing the prophet did when they came out of Babylon? What was the first thing he did? He went to bring the grandchildren of Asaph. He said, you guys, there is something in your generation that causes you to sing songs in a way. When he says, speak it to yourselves in psalms, there was a definite sound that was made. In that place. In Psalm 136 and Psalm 137. You see the story. When you get to Psalm 137 from the first verse. It says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They were asking them, sing the song. They said, we cannot sing the Lord's song. That means the sound they were hearing coming out of Israel was different from their sound. That's why I say to people, sometimes, you know, you come to worship and the worship you are getting is different. Let's see the worship this morning. How can you go to a concert and they would duplicate that kind of thing? It's not possible. You will get the music, you will get the noise, you will get the jump, you will get the sweat, but you will not get the presence. You will not get the presence. You will leave the place. You are weaker than when you got in. But when you go into true worship, where you are hearing the sound, Asaph was a master with cymbals. Master. He had skill in the thing. You'll be playing the thing and you'll be wondering, my God, what is that sound? Where is it coming from? As you start to hear the sound, what will happen? Your spirit gets filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns. In 2 Kings chapter 4, you see the story of Elijah there. Elisha. What did he say? He says that he got to that point and he said, if this guy was not there, I would not have considered you. But what did he do? First of all, what was he after? He was after what the Lord was saying, is what he was after. What was the first thing he did? He said, bring me the minstrel. Bring me the... When you go back and check the scripture, when you get home, assignment for everybody, when you get home, when he says speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, go and check what the word psalm means. A tone of music. He said, sing psalms, because when you sing psalms, the Holy Ghost will be triggered. And when the Holy Ghost is triggered, I will be filled with the Spirit. And when I am filled with the Spirit, then it becomes easy. I start to declare. Jesus said that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So if you read the word without the Spirit, it's no different from any history book. There is no amount of word you read. If the Holy Ghost does not quicken it, it's not going to work. The Holy Ghost needs to quicken the thing. That's why you have professor of theology who is not born again. He will quote the thing back to front for you. He will tell you the history of the thing, but the Holy Ghost is not on it. And when the Holy Ghost is not on it, it's just words. And that is the secret, the decoder of scriptures that says it is only if you are of me will you find out what we're saying here. If you are not of me, if you don't have my spirit, you won't find out what we're saying there. And how do you then find it out? You speak to yourselves in Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Then what do you start to do again? Look in 2 Chronicles. We've had this story so many times. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. From around verse 17 to the end. You see another story there. The people were there. The Bible says that they started to worship God. In fact, let's go there. Let me show you. So that you understand these things. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Let's start from verse 12. It says, also the Levites, which were the singers. Ah, can you see that? Read it. Oh yeah, let's read. 2 Chronicles 5:11. Also, 2 Chronicles 5:12, sorry. Also, hold on. All of them of who? The same Asaph. The same Asaph. You know, the Bible says something in Corinthians. It says that everybody can prophesy. Let it be done decently and in order. It says if someone has a tongue, you should get up and give the tongues by two or three. It says if there be an interpreter. That means that the people knew the ones who were interpreters. They knew the ones who were interpreters. They knew that if there is an interpreter around, give the message. Because as you give the message, the Holy Ghost will quicken the interpreter and the interpreter will release the thing. He knew it. That's how this thing works. if there be an interpreter. So in this case, just look around. If you find any of the sons of Asaph, bring them. If those guys start to do this thing. So what are we saying? You are fitly put together in the body. There is a place you are meant to plug. Once you locate where you are meant to plug, develop yourself in that area. Develop yourself. As you develop yourself, you will find out that it just happens naturally. You're not struggling, you're not begging, you're not doing anything. It just happens naturally. You just get somewhere and something will just happen. The Holy Ghost is just triggered. He's just triggered. He's just triggered. You are in a business meeting somewhere. They are saying something and the word of knowledge just bam. And you said, no. Can you imagine you're in a board meeting and you say, hey, there's somebody here. There's somebody. You say, there's somebody here. There's somebody here. Inside knowledge. Inside knowledge. Why? You build yourself in the spirit. I remember there have been times I'll be in meetings and I'll be thinking, my God, what are they saying in this meeting? I'll say, excuse me, I need a quick comfort break. As I go into the comfort break, I open the toilet, I check anybody around, I close the door. In the name of Jesus, I stir up the Holy Ghost inside me. I am born of the Spirit of God. The mind of God is in me. I cannot be confused. I know what to do in this situation, and I go back into the meeting. And I sit down. And they talk. When they finish talking, and I say, okay, fine. They say all they want to say. I say, actually, this is my view. And they will turn around, they will say, why didn't we think about that? That was the Holy Ghost walking. The number of times that I've been delivered at work because the gift of God came to the fore. I was in trouble and I said, no. 2 weeks ago, that thing was not there. It came out of my mouth before I realized what happened 2 weeks ago. And then we had to rush to go and look. Eh, it's not there. Yes, it's not there. The Bible says, be courageous. Yeah, he's not there. And you know, when it happens one time, it happens two times, it happens three times. After a while, you understand the working of the thing. You understand the flow of it. But why can it happen that way? Because you are full of the Holy Ghost. If I'm at work and decisions are going in the wrong way, Mr. Go back. Something is missing. The Holy Ghost is never wrong. And I've said this so many times. There is nothing like prophecy. You are prophesying and you say the prophecy is wrong. No. When you are prophesying, you miss it sometimes. Accepted. Don't try to cover it with God. If I missed it, I missed it. I will learn from it and I will develop myself from it. But there is nothing like I will mature in prophesying. There is no place in scripture for it. So are you saying that the inaccuracy of your prophecy is God? No. It is 100% accurate every time. Whether you were born again yesterday or you were born again 100 years ago. Accurate all the time. Why? Because you are full of the Holy Ghost. So that's what I'm saying. It's about being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's about the quickening that happens when the Holy Ghost is there. If the quickening is not happening, the Holy Ghost is probably on a low ebb. He's not absent, but he's on a low ebb. You've pushed him to the side. You are trying to do your own thing. He says that the Spirit quickens. John chapter 6, verse 63. The Spirit quickens. He quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Profits nothing. No profiting whatsoever in the flesh. But if you are in the Spirit. So, if we want to get an increase in the things of God, just get the Holy Ghost in the matter. Get the Holy Ghost in the matter. Even when evil is going to happen, the Holy Ghost will tell you that something is happening tomorrow. It's going to be a dangerous thing. But you'll be okay. You realize that it is not every challenge that needs to be averted. There are some, you go through it. Why? Because if you don't go through it and come out, how will you see God being God? He's using it for your benefit. He says that the manifold wisdom of God may be made known to principalities and powers. That you think that I would die. Come on. Bring it on. Bring it on. And they bring it on. They try you. They try you. And they try you. And then suddenly they find out that this guy is not moving. And you know, Bible says that the devil, Luke chapter 4, the devil tested Jesus. Tested him a while. First time he tried. Second time he tried. Third time he tried. The Bible says something. It says that the devil departed for a season. That means he's gone now. He's coming back. He's coming back. And when he comes back, he will come with reinforcement and say, we tried this guy. He did for the last time. Come, help me. And when they come, we too, we come with reinforcement. When the challenges come, we go back to our company and we say to our company, see the persecution I am facing. And when you go back to the right company starts to say to you, come on, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, see the threatenings against the body. This is not a threat against an individual. It is a threat against the body because it's a body that's framed together. If you move one pillar, can you imagine? Samson was put somewhere and he moved pillars, the whole building collapsed. That means a lot of times in life, there are only a few pillars you need to move. When you move those few pillars, every other thing destabilizes. In some businesses, you only need to move a few people out of the business, the thing will collapse. If you think that's not the case, look at all the great ministries we've had of in the past. Where are they today? The main man that carried grace died. The ministry went down. Why? Because the grace was in the ministry. That is telling you that that model was wrong. That model was wrong. But when you follow the model, 1 Corinthians 14, everyone had a psalm. Everyone has a hymn. Everyone has a tongue. It means that you come to church not just to receive. You come to church to flow in the Holy Ghost. You come to church to deposit your part. You listen to the man that God has put in the assembly. He teaches you what you need to do. Again, you see this story in Ezra. They found the book they didn't do. The children of Israel came there. And the that it's for you. You see some of these stories. Ezra and Nehemiah, I think you should read those books. Let us look at Nehemiah 8. Ezra reads the book of the law. Now, it starts from verse 7. I won't read it. There are so many names I can't even pronounce there. Verse 8. Nehemiah 8:8. It says, so they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and they gave sense and caused them to understand the reading. They caused them to understand the reading. God will put a man in an assembly to cause you to understand the reading. And when you understand the reading, it means that you can go away. And when you come back the next time, you are coming back saying that, I am going to give a hymn. I am going to give a tongue. I am going to give an interpretation. I am going to give a prophecy. That's why it says, you may all prophesy. You may all prophesy. And that's why Pastor is always saying here, his vision is to build men here, men of stature, people who understand how to operate this thing. He'll be hearing the stories of people doing great things, moving around, achieving their potential, becoming who God wants them to be, realizing what God is doing in their lives, and taking that message and coming back with the stories, coming back with the testimonies. I had a story someone was telling me some time ago. A baby died in a church. The person was in South Africa. South Africa, the couple were here in the UK. South Africa, the pastor had traveled out. They did not even call the pastor over the phone. They just called a few brethren. They said, baby died. Die where? Baby cannot die. South Africa, here, baby, come alive. The baby came back to life. The pastor said, they didn't even call me. That's why I said, when you get to the new level that God is taking people to, you better be secure in yourself. You better be secure in yourself. Because one minute the anointing is on you, the next minute is on somebody else. It doesn't mean God has disregarded you. It just means that the Holy Ghost is flowing. The Holy Ghost flows. When it flows, it means it moves. And it moves. One minute he might be here, the next minute he's there. The next minute he's there, the next minute he's there, the next minute he's there. That's how it works. So it says, when you are come together, when we come together, all we just do is tongues, 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 tongues. Praise God for it. That's how we get charged. That's how I get charged at home. I get charged in the Holy Ghost before I come out. And once I know I'm charged, it says as occasion. That's not good. As occasion find you, you do. as occasion finds you, you do. If it's not working out, stir yourself up. Psalms. In that story in Chronicles chapter 5 that we were looking at, the children of Asaph, they called them. What brought the glory down? Psalms. As they began to say, God is good and his mercies endureth forever. When they built the temple, 1 Chronicles chapter 6, they built the temple. They were going to dedicate the temple. What was the first thing David did? The Bible says he wrote a psalm and he gave it again to the children of Asaph. I said, Asaph, please, psalm. And they started to read the psalm. And they started to read the psalm and the Holy Ghost fell. You know, the book of Psalms is one of the most concentrated books of prophetic statements in the Bible. So as you start to sing psalms, you start to speak psalms to yourself, what happens? Holy Ghost falls. Without fail. Without fail. Without fail. Without fail. The same thing he said in Ephesians chapter 3. When you go to Colossians, he said exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Praise the Lord. I hope you got one or two things from there. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms. And let's look for a few. Let's rise up on our feet as we do this. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. What is a spiritual song? A song with meaning, a shout with meaning. Words that come out that have meaning, meaning, meaning. That when the words are coming out of you and the sound is coming out of you, if somebody is not close to you and they are not understanding what's going on in your spirit, they will not know the sound you are making. They will be wondering that what is that thing, but it is spiritual in the making. And it's all the psalms. All the psalms. All. So let's pick, for example, let's look at Psalm 31. And in my Bible, it's got a note here. It says, to the chief musician. So when the psalms were being written, they were written to the musicians. To the musician. Look at verse 19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. I only need to be in a challenge and I look at that scripture. Oh God, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear you. Father, I fear you. I fear you. Goodness has been laid up for me. Faithfulness has been laid up for me. And you hear that song. He called it a hymn. It was a hymn. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You know the song. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Oh God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I'll see. All I have been and thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. That's a hymn. That's a hymn. That's what a hymn would do. That's what a hymn would do. It will stir you up in your inner man. You know deep within you.
you will know deep within you that God is with me. This God is faithful. This God is faithful.